In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. After the Israelites walked through the sea, they had trust in God. They trusted God and Moses. But they didn't do it for very long. The faith of the Israelites kept failing, as did their trust in God and Moses. Have you ever wondered why they kept losing their faith? They kept losing their faith and trust in God. Why the Israelites didn't cope very well when they encountered difficulties after their release from slavery. These people had been oppressed by the Egyptians for generations, and they knew no other way of living. When they were in slavery, they had no control over their lives. So when they were set free and Moses led them out of Egypt, they didn't know how to act. They didn't know how to trust. And they didn't know how to live their life out of slavery. Under the oppression of the Egyptians, they knew what each day would be like. They'd get up, go to work for the Egyptians, go home, eat and sleep, and that was their life. But now they were free from that oppression, and they didn't know what to expect. They were apprehensive and afraid of their life. The Israelites had endured hard taskmasters, always telling them what to do. And so when unexpected difficulties arose, they couldn't cope because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to think for themselves. But God didn't free them from slavery to lead them out into the desert to die. But sadly, the Israelites didn't know how to trust. And because of that, they could not trust God. Yet time and time again, God forgave them. Now, we shouldn't judge the Israelites for their grumblings and fears, because sometimes we feel overwhelmed, just as overwhelmed as the Israelites. Overwhelmed with problems at home, money problems, problems at work, dealing with health problems, especially as we get older, dealing with addiction, or dealing with abuse. And like the Israelites, we can go to God, call out to Him for help, help to save us, to help us through our difficulties, and to free us from the struggles we're going through. That doesn't mean that the struggles will disappear, not straight away, but they will. And God will help us to cope with it and to get through it. And I know that with the struggles I've had in my life, that the only way I got through them was because God was with me, and I let Him be with me, and I was with Him. And He gave me the strength and the courage. The strength and courage I needed to get through my struggles and through the hard times. And after I've gone through those struggles, I always come out feeling that my character has grown, my faith has grown, and my spirit is more with God. God was with the people He freed from Egypt. He led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. Now, we might not see God in a cloud or a pillar of light, but He is with us. We can always know that He is with us, helping us and guiding us. Just as God opened the sea for the Israelites to pass through, He will open a path for you and for me as we face our troubles and hard times, a path that will lead us out of those troubles and give us peace. When Moses stretched out his hand to open the waters, he trusted God. He trusted that God would act. And we have to do the same. We have to trust in God and trust that He will act for us. God showed His love to the people of Israel by hearing their cry for help and freeing them from the slavery, leading them to safety by parting the waters. And He loves you and me and will come to help us when we go to ask him. When we talk to him, when we tell him of our problems and tell him we need help. And because he loves us, he listens and is with us. Love is such an important part of our lives. Paul writes that it is with love that we accept him who is weak in faith, and we shouldn't pass judgment on that person. We are to accept a person who is young in their Christianity, a person we do not fully agree with, or who is difficult to deal with. Not to change them or judge them, but to love them, because they are part of the family of God, who loves us unreservedly. And it is by God's grace and love that we are forgiven of our sins. Forgiven when we should be condemned. Forgiven because Jesus paid our debt by dying on the cross for us. Jesus talks about forgiveness and how we can't be forgiven if we cannot forgive those who have hurt us. And he tells us how much we should be prepared to forgive. There was a king who was owed 10,000 talents by one of his servants. Now, a denarius was a daily wage of the average worker, and one talent was worth about 5,500 denarii. So you can see that 10,000 talents is quite a lot of money. In fact, it's a huge sum of money. And the servant couldn't pay and begged the king to have pity on him, and he did. The king forgave the huge debt the servant owed. But the servant was not as forgiving as the king. Another servant owed him 100 denarii, a very small sum of money. And when the servant asked time to pay, the forgiven servant said, "No, go to jail until you've paid the debt." This is a servant who had just been forgiven a huge debt, but he was unable to forgive somebody for a small one. It's always seemed a bit illogical to me to throw a person to jail till they pay their debt, because they can't work, so how can they pay their debt? But however, that was the practice at the time, and it was for centuries. Now, when the king heard about this servant, he was angry and had him put into jail to be tortured until the original debt was paid. And Jesus said, this is how God would treat those who do not forgive their brother or sister from the heart. And when Jesus taught the disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, he taught them, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" "Up to 7 times." And he probably thought he was being quite magnanimous at the time, because in those days, forgiving was for 3 times. So to forgive for 7 times was beyond the normal forgiving. But Jesus replied, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times, an unlimited amount of times." Most people agree with the principle of forgiveness. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until there is something to forgive. And when there is something to forgive, some will seek revenge, some will turn away and never speak to a person again. Some will go into depression, while others pretend that the hurt never happened. But if we don't forgive, we are stuck in the past with the sin that was against us. We are stuck in the past with the person who has hurt us and forfeit the life that God wants us to have. It's not easy to forgive those who hurt us, those who abuse us, cheat us, tell lies about us, or are unfaithful to us. But God forgave us our sins by sacrificing his Son to die for us on the cross. All we have to sacrifice is our scars from being hurt and our own righteousness, our own feelings of righteousness. And I know from experience that to forgive someone who has been unfaithful, who has been abusive, heals the scars. It doesn't make you forget. And sometimes you have to forgive again, an unlimited amount of times. But it's by the grace of God that there is no more fear, anger, or bitterness in your heart. And if we can't forgive others, how can we understand God's forgiveness for us? Jesus is trying to make us see that we have to look at ourselves before we judge others, before we refuse to forgive others. We are like the servant who had been forgiven a large amount of money, a huge debt. We have forgiven far more than a vast amount of money. We have been given something that money cannot buy, forgiveness of our sins, through the grace and great love of God for us. You see, if we add up our wrongdoings against God over the years that we have lived, it would add up to an impossible debt to pay. Our rebelliousness, our acts of selfishness, our unkind thought, our pride, our anger, our words said in anger, and actions done in anger, our bitterness, our dislike of others. All of these add up to an enormous debt that we owe to God. But like the king wiped out the huge debt the servant owed, our debt to God has been wiped out, our enormous debt to God, because God loves us, his created people. He loves us so much he gave his only Son to die for us, so that our debt has been wiped clean. When we confess our sins to God and repent of them, we are forgiven our sins and can face God being cleansed, blameless, and set free. But it isn't just once that we have to confess and repent of our sins. Day after day, we need to forgive and be forgiven. And we are forgiven by the cleansing blood of Jesus. Yet when someone hurts us or offends us, without thinking, we return to our worldly way of thinking. We think things like, how dare you, or I demand apology, or treat me with respect, I'm so annoyed, what a rotten driver, how rude, all these things we keep doing day after day. Yet each time we confess our sins to God, he cancels our debt because Jesus paid our debt and we are forgiven. Forgiveness doesn't come within us, it comes from God. And it's because of God forgiving us and continues to forgive us that we can forgive others and we can forgive them as many times as it takes. And it starts with recognizing and being thankful that we have been forgiven. Forgiven because Jesus died on the cross. And even on the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. He died on the cross, but was able to ask forgiveness for those who nailed him to the cross. Not just the soldiers, but you and me, for whom he died. So how can we not forgive others? So if there's someone you need to forgive, pray that God will give you the strength and courage to go and forgive that person, because God is with you. He loves you, and through his Son, your sins have been forgiven. Forgive others. Accept and know God's forgiveness for you, and forgive those that you need to forgive. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.